So we are continuing on this morning with our wisdom series. And I realized when we start a wisdom series, we haven't even really defined it yet or anything. We just dove right into, and that's kind of intentional. Like my heart was just really stirred by Solomon. And just as I was researching this, like we didn't start off with, all right, what is wisdom? And let's kind of define things. And we're just talking about wisdom and we just haven't even really talked about it yet. And that's not going to change today. So I was thinking, now I didn't write this down, so I might double up, and this was going to be really short, but I was just thinking of what is wisdom like, and I was kind of thinking of it being like a car. We're like, it's not our intention to really just define things today, but I just thought I'd maybe just clarify a little bit before we go on with Solomon. I was thinking of wisdom, like in the context of driving an automobile, Curtis. This is what I was going to share. This was my impromptu right before service. I should share about that. And then you came up with that story. So we'll share that story in just a second here. But so I was thinking of, you know, like imagine if you ever been on a toll road, like a road that you're not supposed to be on that costs money, but you got to pay money to get on it. Then you're supposed to be on there. We got on one of those in DC with the kids on a missions trip. And so we're driving down, there's no signs really, and you can't get off the dumb thing. And so we're driving down the road, and there's all these cameras, because they're taking pictures of you if you're illegal. And so poor Steven, he's trying, Marnie's on her phone, and Steven's flipping through the map, and we're trying to figure out how we're going to get off of this road, because it was, I don't remember how much it was to be on there, a bunch of money to be on there. And I'm kind of, I'm usually calm, cool, and collected, right? Or the opposite of whatever that is. So I'm kind of panicking and going through all these cameras. And I'm like, what if every camera is like $50? I mean, like they're going to send us fines. And so we can't find a way to get off this road. And finally, we get up to the last camera. And I'm like, I do this. I'm like, how do we get off? Like, we're on. We're keep going through all these things. But there's no off road because apparently it's this express thing or whatever. And we're just freaking out. We finally found how to get off there. And didn't make that mistake again, but it's kind of this special road that you get. Well, accepting Jesus, you get to get on the road, right? Faith and grace. I mean, that's the only way on. It's the only way you can get on the road. All right. And so kind of our walk with God, is this highway, and we're in the car and prayer and faith, kind of fuel the thing. And then, once in a while you dump in a bottle of the Holy Spirit, right? That's kind of like your turbo boost. And that, like, so you could come up with all these cool different analogies for all the things of God. And I thought of this. Wisdom, it's kind of like your guidance system. I mean, the Word of God is like the map. Tells us, kind of what we're doing, where we're going. How many have ever driven with someone who just got their license, Trevor and Avery? Aspen. Actually, Taylor's in driver's ed right now, so this could be good. I don't know. We'll see. There's a big difference between someone who has their license, right? You need a license to drive, right? So that's our acceptance of Jesus Christ. That gets us on the highway. That gets us our license. But there's a big difference between someone who just got their license and is taking a trip to Fargo and driving on one-way streets to someone who is a seasoned driver, right? Can you all raise your hand if you know the difference between, right? There's a difference between those. And so wisdom is kind of like, you ever see the on TV or the kind of, it's on commercials once in a while, these guys will be ripping around in their car, and then when they come and park, they're like, spin around like Joe at the bus barn, spin around, and then kind of slide right in the parallel parking. They'll like slide in sideways. Right? Now that's wisdom. It's the ability to have control of the vehicle, to know not only where you're going, but how you're getting there, and to avoid the obstacles that come up. Because on the road, there's always construction, isn't there? Right? There's always drivers who are a little less aware than they should be. Right? And so now sometimes there's people that, maybe the passenger would look over and see that the driver had their eyes closed. Like may or may not have happened with someone recently, if you didn't hear that story earlier. Well, you can, but all I know is when she saw that, she was praying. Yes. Yes. There are those that drive the speed limit. Yes. Follow the rule of the Lord. And then there's Pentecostals, right? So the wisdom is the ability to not just to know where to go, because the Word of God lets us know that. And it's not just getting on the highway, because, you know, grace and faith do that. And it's not just powering the thing, because the Holy Spirit will do that. The wisdom gives us the ability to steer clear of the objects and to look further. Remember in driver's ed, you know, because he's first-time drivers, where are you looking? You're looking, like, you know, right out in front of you there, right? And you watch someone that's been driving for more than a year or two, and they're looking right out there, then they're looking down the road, then they're looking back there, then they're looking, then if, especially if you're a bus driver, then you're checking all your mirrors, and then you're looking for the mirrors that are supposed to be there, but they're not, right? And you're just making the circuit because you want to be aware so that you can avoid, and you can avoid the obstacles, so that the journey isn't just a matter of leaving and arriving. It's how well and how much enjoyment and how much life and how much effectiveness we have along the way. That's what wisdom does. Now, that's a very simplistic definition, but it just kind of put it in the back of your mind. It's the ability to follow the guidance well, you know, to veer around the things that are unexpected. So that's what wisdom does. So last time we started looking at the wisdom of Solomon. He was the wisest man that ever lived. And just my question was, why Solomon? Like, I know God chose him to be king or whatever, but like, why did he have this in with God? Like, what happened in his life, and is that accessible to us? And so I was just kind of going through the Word of God and really just studying that out and looking at what was Solomon doing, and what can we replicate? What in him? Now, we can't go be a king of Israel. Okay, so that, scratch that off the list. But we are kings and priests, right? We're a royal priesthood. The Bible tells us that, and so. All right, what can we glean from the life of Solomon? Now, in the next week or two, we're going to get into Proverbs, and we're going to look at some of that, and we're going to look at wisdom. But just as we're getting into this, let's look at the life of a guy who entered in and into this relationship with God and became the wisest man that ever lived. So in Solomon's journey to wisdom, last time we talked about the first thing, you're chosen, right? And let me clarify this. So you're chosen. We went through all these verses where, you know, David talked about, you know, you chose Judah, and then you chose me from that family or whatever, and now you're choosing Solomon. And so there was all these chosen. In my Bible, they're pink with a box around them, and you can just see there's just a pile of chosens there. And just very clear that God chose David, God chose Judah, God chose Solomon. So Solomon was chosen. He walks into this encounter with God with a healthy God image of himself. Okay? Not an inflated one, not an egotistical one, not a presumptuous one. If you're going to pursue wisdom, you need to know that you've been chosen. And we went through all those New Testament verses that you're chosen. If you're seeking the Lord at all, if God's captured your heart at all, you're chosen. Like, you don't have to wonder. You don't have to wonder if serving God was a mistake. You don't have to wonder if God knew what he was doing when he picked you. He did. God chose you. Now, to clarify, God chose Solomon and chose you for kingdom purposes. That's what you're chosen for. Because, see, you could be chosen, but it's the first one through the meat grinder, right? Like, it could be the first one, you know, for something bad. God chose you for his purposes. I just want to clarify, not only are you chosen, but you're chosen for good things. You're chosen for God things. You're chosen for God's purposes. All right, so no more on that one. The second one, this is where we kind of got to last time, is talking about your heart's desire. I'm going to put the verse up there that we read last time. We read a bunch of them, but in 2 Chronicles, God said to Solomon, Solomon asked for wisdom. God said, ask me what you want, and, you know, I'll, whatever. And we're going to see that verse in just a second. But Solomon answered because, you know, he wanted wisdom. Since this is your heart's desire, and you've not asked for wealth or possessions or honor or the death of your enemies, and since you've not asked for a long life, but you've asked for wisdom and knowledge to govern my people. There's the kingdom purposes. It was the purpose of Solomon's life was to govern. He asked for wisdom, and God was pleased with that. God gave him wisdom to do kingdom purposes. You guys have kingdom purposes in your life. Nod your head. You guys have kingdom purposes God wants you to do. God wants you on that highway, and God wants you to be able to avoid the obstacles. But also, sometimes we slam the foot pedal down to the floor. Would you still get to Fargo? Yes. Would you probably get a ticket? Yes. Would you waste a lot of gas? Yes. Wisdom says, hey, just back off a little bit. What if we went 20 miles an hour? If 70 is good, then 20 is probably better, right? Man, we might be missing opportunity. Like, God's getting us at the right speed. Wisdom is kind of making this whole process work in ways that we couldn't come up with on our own. That's what wisdom is doing. And so where we got to last time is all of these desires that are in our heart. And if you really strip away the facade of who we are, when you're alone in your bed at night, when you're laying before the Lord, when it's just you and God, what's really in our hearts? And a lot of us are nervous about that. We like to keep that covered up. And see, Solomon had this encounter with God where what was exposed in his heart was his true desire to lead these people well and for wisdom, because he knew he needed wisdom to lead them well. And so the verse before this, so this is verses 11 and 12. So a couple verses before this, in verse number 7, we've read this before, right? I mean, we read it last week. You guys have read it in your own Bible reading. That night, God appeared to Solomon and asked him, ask for whatever you want me to give you. Ask for whatever you want me to give you. That's the verse. That's the encounter. That's the God moment. And I want to just challenge us. Here's how we would read it. Ask for whatever you want me to give you. I'm going to challenge you today that we're reading that incorrectly with the wrong emphasis, that it's this. Ask for whatever you want me to give you, because that's where it gets revealed what's in your heart. And we see God responds to that because he said, since it was in your heart to get wisdom, I'm going to give you wisdom, then I'm also going to give you blessing. I'm going to respond to you because your heart was in the right place. I'm going to respond to you because what was in your heart. So this is a revelatory question. Ask for whatever you want. Here's the deal. When our desires, the desires of our heart, get lined up with the desires of God's heart, the flow from heaven happens. That's when God starts answering prayers. Well, what if my desires aren't God's desires? See, that's the question. That's the question. Then we pray psalms, songs and psalms and prayers like David prayed. You know, search my heart. Search me and know me, God. See if there's any wicked way in me. God, let the desire of my heart. See, often the desires of our heart really is pretty selfish if you're just going to be human, right? And it takes the power of the Holy Spirit to root those out. Left on our own, we're in a pitiful state, right? We've all got this flesh. We've all got these seedy desires that we want to, kind of a lipstick on a pig kind of a thing. You know, I'm not calling you guys pigs, but these desires in our hearts are pigs, right? We all have these ungodly, fleshly, selfish things that want to take root in our hearts. And if you aren't one of those people, then you either are not human or you're very confused. Okay, they're in all of our hearts. And we want to spend time with... See, here's the thing. Again, Stephen talked about it. We talk about expulsion, you know, getting... Just saying no isn't enough. Just saying no to the bad things, just saying no to the sin isn't enough. Like, that has to be part of it, but it's not enough. We have to have new desires. Hey, Pastor, that's good stuff. How do I get new desires? Spending time with the desire of our hearts. Spending time with the King. Spending time in the presence of Jesus. Seeing the beauty of his face. Seeing his holiness. Wow, I desire to please you, God. Not so that I can earn your favor, but just because I love you. Because I want to serve you. Because I want to please you. Like, and the rewards of that are incredible, but that changes the desires of our heart. So we'll move on from there, but yes, I don't know what you said, but desire giver, yeah. Yep, and only God can do that. Only God can change those desires. So, here's where we got so far, and we mentioned this very quickly, but the one I want to spend a little time on today is a willing mind. A willing mind. Here's the verse here. 1 Chronicles 28:9. And Solomon, okay, do you remember that the speech that was happening here? It was King David. Remember David and Goliath? Well, David was the father of Solomon. Solomon is going to end up being the wisest man that ever lived. And this is part of David's kind of going away. These are his last words, in essence. Right? This is his last big public speech. And he, in the middle of the speech, and we read all this last week, but he turns to Solomon. He says, and you, Solomon, and Solomon, my son, learn to know the God of your ancestors intimately. Worship and serve him with your whole heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord sees every heart and knows every plan and thought. If you seek him, you will find him. But if you forsake him, he'll reject you forever. Last words are important. David is kind of culminating his entire walk with God, his entire life, and he's wanting to pass. He knows he's passing on a kingdom to Solomon. He knows Solomon is in a good spot right now because God told him. We read that last week. God told David that Solomon was in a good spot, that he was being obedient, that his heart was in a good place. And so David, in this kind of this just wrap up, I want to just give you the highlights of what I've learned in my life. He challenges in just a couple sentences here, and he says, and just of all the things that he could say, I just find this very interesting, that he said, serve him with your whole heart. That makes sense. Okay, that was, you know, the desires of your heart kind of thing. Let your whole heart be engaged in this serving of God. But then this one just kind of threw me a little bit. And a willing mind. And we talked about a little bit earlier about simplicity. It really is that simple. And I want to challenge you not to get thrown by the simplicity of this, because this is kind of really our point for today. This is what we're talking about. This is on paper. This is going to be a very simple thing. You're going to be waiting for some big revelation. It's not coming. Okay? This is a simple thing. But coloring within the lines on this one is tough to do. Like this, it's tough to put in practice. It's tricky and it's sneaky and it's deceptive and it's not big and gaudy and evil. It's just really subtle. And so David was just challenging Solomon. I want you to have a willing mind. A willing mind. Again, his farewell speech. He's getting ready to leave this earth. He's handing over a kingdom. He's doing this, and he's having this meeting with the top-notch officials in his kingdom, right? I mean, there's a whole pile of people there, and they're all the best of the best. They're all the leaders of Israel. And in the middle of this meeting, he turns to Solomon, and these are the words that he says to Solomon. Important? I should think so. Solomon, have a willing mind. And no, we know the result of this. The result of this is he meets with God and he asks for wisdom and God gives him wisdom. That's why I wanted to backtrack a little bit. Before we even dive into wisdom, let's look at the heart and the life of Solomon. Because we know, I don't know if you know this or not, but most of us know that Solomon didn't end well. But golly, he started well. He started well. And so let's glean what we can from his life, how he started. And this is David's challenge to him. Have a willing mind. So, willing, definition number one, the word that's in here. I'm going to read three different verses. And this Hebrew word, willing, we're not going to give you the Hebrew word, but just the word that they translate willing here is translated three different ways in the next three different verses. And just so we can see a broader meaning of this Hebrew word, I want to go to a couple more verses. So Psalms 5:4 says this, "Oh God, you take no pleasure in wickedness. You cannot tolerate the sins of the wicked." This is the word willing. God, you take no willingness. You take no pleasure. You take no pleasing. It's not, wickedness is not pleasing to you. There's no part of wickedness that is pleasing to you. There's no like, oh, you got most of the way there. Good job, buddy. There's no like, man, I really love it. Oh, I wish you could have done. No, like, there, wickedness is detestable in God's sight. There's no pleasure in it. There's no willingness in it of God. Does that make sense? Not really. That's okay. we'll get a bigger picture of this word, but wrapped up in this word willing is pleasure. Pleased. Pleasing. God, you take no willingness in wickedness. You take no pleasure in willingness. You cannot tolerate the sins of the wicked. You are not willing for the sins of the wicked. You're not pleased with them. Second verse, this one's a little more what we think of willing to be. "Come, my children," this is in Psalms 34, 11 through 14. "Come, my children, and listen to me, and I will teach you to fear the Lord." Does anyone want to? Is anyone willing to? Does anyone want to live a life that is long and prosperous? This is not our message today, but man, what a great verse. You guys should look at this. This is helpful for you. Right? Wink, wink, nudge, nudge, right? Does anyone want to live a long life, right? Is anyone... Raise your hand if you're interested at all in living a long, prosperous life. Okay. You are willing. You have want to. You have that Hebrew word, willingness. You desire that. You want to. You would be pleased with that. Absolutely. Well, then, keep your tongue from speaking evil and your lips from speaking lies. Turn away from evil and do good. Search for peace. Oh, come on, Jesus. Work to maintain it. Hallelujah. Let's not get the preacher going on that. So we got to keep moving. But man, you want to have a long life? Too much drama for me, mama. Come on, look for some peace. Right? Look for some peace and step into that and then work to maintain it. Listen, guys, there's an invitation happening all the time. You guys are being invited. You're being invited. You're always being invited. You're always being invited. And you're being invited oftentimes by people into their junk. You guys are getting invitations. Stephen taught me this. He's like, you don't have to accept the invitation. I'm like, oh, really? And it was, to me, it was like, you're always being invited. That does not mean you have to participate. You're always being invited. It doesn't mean we don't walk with compassion. It doesn't mean that we don't try to solve things. It doesn't mean that we don't have communication. Just because you're invited to the dance doesn't mean you got to do the jig. That's a proverb, I think. If not, it should be. You don't have to be invited in, or you don't have to participate. You don't have to accept the invitation when someone invites you into their whirlwind of emotions and mess and right? We can walk with the fruit of the Spirit and with wisdom. And then we can offer solutions. Once you step into the whirlwind, your effectiveness then becomes diminished. So we want to stand back, not like distance in a bad way, but with perspective. And not participate, not get sucked in, don't let your emotions run away. Just because you got the invitation in the mail, honey, we got to get all worked up about this now because I got the invitation, right? You don't need to go. You're hey, listen, tell your neighbor I'm busy that day. Just tell them. Just say, I'm busy that day. No one's saying it. Just don't got to be, just because you got invited, you don't need to go. Just like you're washing your hair or whatever you're doing, you know? Just. But so often we just feel like, because I got the invitation, I got to show up. Boy, them's fighting words, right? I'm just going to be right in the middle of this. Guys, it's so funny, but it's so true, and it's so hard to do. Okay, so if you want to live a life that's long and powerful, I love this, the last line, that's what made me think of that. Search for peace, and then put in the effort to maintain it. So let's not get stuck there, we're going to keep moving. The third one is this, Psalm 35:27. But give great joy to those, this is David, kind of, he's being all excited, who came to my defense. Let them continually say, great is the Lord who is willing in blessing his servant with peace. Who delights, who gets excited about it, who loves it. God loves blessing his servants with peace. He's willing. So the verse that we just read, okay, we're at the start of this. Solomon, my son, you know, worship and serve him with your whole heart and with a what kind of a mind? Willing. A willing mind. Let's put those other definitions in there. Worship and serve him with your whole heart and with a want to, delighted to, it's my pleasure kind of a mind. Ooh, serve the Lord your God and worship him with a I want to kind of a mind. Serve him with a it's my delight to serve you, God. Serve him with a it's my pleasure to serve you, God. See what I mean? This is simple, but wow. How many times have we been mentally drug along, kicking and screaming in our relationship with God? I'm not saying that there's not always going to be a battle with the flesh, but in our mindsets. In our mindsets, there's been some stinking thinking going on. So talking about the heart, this wholehearted devotion, okay, just to differentiate a little bit, this is our passions. It's the core of who we are. It's our inmost desires. It's our duties and our loyalties. That's our heart. That's our, like, we want that part of us, the core of who we are, our inmost being, the deepest part of us, we want that to pursue the Lord. We want to point that at Jesus. And that only comes from spending time with him, from thanking him, from seeing his blessings, from being invited into the beauty of that relationship. He starts to stir our heart. You know, read the Song of Songs if you're old enough, okay? If you're over 18. I mean, it's a little graphic. Song of Songs is about our relationship with Jesus. It's about a lover, right? But it's about also about this love relationship with God. And so that's the heart. We want our heart to be dialed into God and loving him. But then a willing mind talks about our attitudes. It talks about our willingness. It talks about our thoughts. And so many times, me, probably not you, and for sure not Jerry, but just me, like, I'll get my heart in a good spot, and I really do want, like, I could pass a lie detector. I really do want to serve God. Like, that's what's in my heart. But I'm grumbling and complaining that I've got to go forgive somebody, or I've got to read my Bible again, right? Like, my mind has got, like, there's a dead mouse in there. You know, something stinks, right? Pew. And David, in his final words, telling Solomon, man, you're entering into the Lord's provision for your life here. You're entering in to God showing up, allowing you with supernatural power to do what you've been called to do. Here's my parting words to you. Have a willing mind, because the second you start resisting the Lord with your thoughts, then your heart's going to go south. And we see that in Solomon's life. So this willing mind is just, it's this, okay, I want to, I desire to, it's my attitude. You will never have to be afraid of getting wisdom against your will. No one's ever waking up going, darn it, I'm a lot wiser now than I was yesterday. I didn't mean for that to happen. Wisdom is a pursuit. I mean, I don't want to get ahead of myself. We'll get into all of that in just a minute. But again, this little glimpse, this little snapshot into Solomon's life, why did it work for him? Why did he get that opportunity to walk with God? Why did he get this wisdom? What can I do that Solomon did that predicated his experience with God to be like that? What can I do? Think well. Think, have a willing mind. All right. Definition number two of willing. This one's short. Just one verse for this one. It is Psalms 51:10. Create in me a pure heart, O God. Renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. David's having this, pardon the phrase, come to Jesus moment, right? He's having this moment of, God, I need my heart to be right. I need my willingness to get back in line so that I can serve you well. And he's just having this, I want to be sustained. How many want to be sustained? How many want to be, all right, yeah, like think of the Energizer Bunny, right? Those old commercials, right? This little bunny it just never stops. Sustained. It's sustained. It's held up. It's lifted up. It's right. But sometimes you just need the sustaining, the keeping, the carrying, the lifting up, the keep on going power of God. And David prayed, grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Not drain me, not rob me of life, but a willing spirit to sustain me. What does this word willing mean? Well, I'm glad that you asked that. It means this: a freely generous, noble, royalty kind of a spirit. That's the Hebrew word. It's often translated prince, like 15 times, I think. It's generous. It's free. Amazing how we just got off our generosity series a couple series ago, and we talked about how the word generous means free. Right? And so if we want to be generous, we're free. And there's an empowering presence that comes with that. And remember, in order to be generous, we got to remember the hose. Have you guys forgotten already? The hose? Remember the hose? take the hose of our lives. We got to hook it up. It's got to be connected. We got to hook it up to the faucet and then turn the water on. Let the flow of God in our life. And then remember the last thing, you got to squeeze the thing, or you got to squeeze the handle. You got to actually pull your wallet out. You got to actually pull your calendar out. You've got to actually pull your emotions out and be willing to give. You got to actually do the giving. But that's what the flow of life is in us. And that energizes us, and it fills us with life and power. And David is praying this here, and he's saying, give me a willing, a generous, a free spirit, a noble spirit, a princely spirit, a royal spirit. Royalty think differently than we do. They see the world differently, not because they're more special, just because they're in the position that they need to. They see opportunity differently. They see obligation differently. They know that there's things that they have to do that they don't want to do. Now we're starting to pick this apart a little bit. Wisdom sees that there's things that you might not want to do, but if you want to avoid if you want to be a great driver on that highway, you're going to have to do things that you know are a higher calling. See, it's our choice. I don't want to jump into wisdom yet, but it's this invitation. I can talk about invitations. Wisdom is this invitation, man, into the good life, into life, into empowerment, into good things, and we get to decide if we want to participate in that. So, willing is I want to, happy to, well, I'm delighted to, it's my pleasure to, generous and free, noble and royal kind of a mind. A willing mind is a mind that's, I want to serve you, God. I'm happy to, I'm delighted to. It's my pleasure to serve you, Lord. Generous with my life and my time, and I'm free in my not hanging on and trying to control situations and circumstances and try to logic my way out of every single thing, because that small-mindedness and noble and royal thinking gets me elevated above small, common thinking. I want to think like a king. I want to think with someone like someone with royal provision. I want to think like someone who's a child of the king, who's a prince. Amen? Does that make sense? I know this is a little weird, a little heady, but man, I just saw David exiting and Solomon coming in and knowing the result of that. What, David, what did you say to him? Solomon, how did you get that heart? Sign me up, because man, I want wisdom. I want to steer well. I want to get to the other side, not just with the bumper hanging off, right, and the antenna busted, and you know, like we made it. Man, I want to come in with the royal caravan, right? I want to come in well, avoiding, you know. Oh, you know, if you know, how many of you have ever navigated with Google or whatever your Apple garbage is? Coming through Chicago. Oh my word. To save 9 minutes, please exit now. So you take that one. Well, everybody else also gets that same alert. So then they all take that one, right, Jim? And then now you're just bumper to bumper, because everyone else got, now the interstate's empty. If you would have stayed on, now you would have made. So you're taking all these little detours. Wisdom is going to give you the gold package, the platinum package of navigation, where you can avoid these pitfalls. You can look ahead. You can see things. But you've got to think differently. You've got to have a willing mind. I'll close with this. I just went through a little season, and I pray that this is like the new season forever in my life. But I just want to tell you a specific season in my life. I was sitting at the table right over there. Both tables were up, but I was sitting on this end. And I remember this, God prompted my heart. See, here's what it does. God prompts you to do what he wants you to do, and then you do it, and then he gives you credit for it. And then you give it back to him. It's crazy. It's like the only reason that he's the one nudging my heart to do this, and I'm like, God, I want to do this. And then he's like, oh, you did so good. And I'm like, thank you, right? It's him. It's all him. We've got to respond, and wisdom gives us a chance to respond, right? And so I went through this little nudge, and the nudge was this: say yes. Say yes. Say yes. So I went through a season, and I pray that, because it sounds bad. Like, we all want to fool ourselves into thinking we're saying yes all the time. You guys are lying. You are. Stop looking at your neighbor. They're not the bad ones. You are. We fool ourselves into thinking, I'm really serving God. And I'm not, this is not a guilt way. I'm just exposing my own heart here. And I purpose in my heart, God, whatever it is, I'm saying yes. In this season, I'm saying yes. I'm just saying yes. And guess what came my way? Big, hairy, ugly, scary circumstances, all kinds of them. One after another. And I watched, and it's like God pulled, you know, not in a weird way, but like, it's like God pulled me off to the side and he let me watch my interaction with all these different things. Because I felt exactly what I normally would feel, and I watched my own mind crank out the ticker tape of what it normally would say in a situation like this. No. But I knew it was God. So I said yes. But I watched that whole thing play out, and I got to see my thinking where I would never have seen that before. I said yes. And I watched it all happen in my head. And there was probably about four or five or maybe more of them. And they were scary. And I watched the blessing of God. Man, jeez, I forgot about that one too. Yeah, they were really scary. But the fruit of God was on them. I'm like, whoa, I wouldn't have seen this if I hadn't said yes. Whoa, I would have never known this if I hadn't said yes. Whoa, I wouldn't have. And it was fruitful. And I'm like, oh, it birthed in me a desire to say yes more. I'm like, I want to have a willing mind. And that was before I ever even saw this scripture. God, I want to have a willing mind. I want to say yes. Now, we all have conned ourselves into thinking that we say yes to God all the time. And I pray that I'm the only con man here, and all of you guys really do. Okay? But I'm guessing, if my study of humanity has proven anything to me, that it's probably accurate that you're saying more than you know, more than you think that you do. And David was just challenging Solomon, serve the Lord with a willing mind. Say yes. Come on, David. Come on, Solomon. Say yes. Say yes. Just say yes to God. Say yes. Say yes. Be willing. Say, it's my pleasure. I'd love to do that. And don't be sarcastic about it. Yes. A willingness. A want to. I would love to. Say yes. Say yes. And there's going to open up in your life a relationship with Jesus and a flow of God in your life that you never even imagined. We'll be done with that. But just remember, defensiveness and arrogance, when that just rises up, when pride comes up, when you start justifying, well, I don't, you know, I know some Christians do that. I don't have to because I'm, you know, when you've been a Christian so long that you know it all, that's not a willing mind. As soon as, right? There's all these subtle little, that's what I'm trying to get at. I'm trying to be done. But all these subtle little things that is us saying no. God's saying, have a willing mind. Have a willing mind, and it's going to open up the pathway of wisdom for us. So that's it for today. Be blessed and say yes to Jesus. Yeah.